serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit with 92-year-old Bob Andre of Las Vegas, Nevada. Originally from Richmond, California, in July 1944, he was an 18-year-old Marine on Saipan, where a three-week-long battle claimed the lives of nearly 3,500 Americans. There were more than 10,000 wounded, including Bob, who just finished describing that moment when, while rendering aid to a wounded Marine, he was struck in the leg with shrapnel from a hand grenade.
I know you've told this story before, and you tell it like it's no big deal.
Well, I can't help it. That's the way it was to me at the time. Yeah.
But I hope you understand that for the rest of us, we're saying, how in the world did that guy do that?
Like I said a moment ago, either out of my head or something.
And when did it start to sink in, the condition that you were in? And how would you describe that condition?
I don't remember what it did, to tell you the truth. All I know is that I was out of the war. The Jeep came up there, and they loaded me on a Jeep and a couple other wounded guys, and had a second lieutenant ride as guard on the Jeep and took it down to the field hospital. Then they looked at me, the doctor did. They triaged me there, and they said, send him out to the hospital ship. They couldn't operate on me there. So they sent me out to the hospital ship, and I stayed there about 3 or 4 or 5 days, I guess, before they finally got around to operating on me.
And what did they have to do to fix you up?
Oh, it cut a big hole in my leg. It was about this big.
So about, six inches in diameter?
Yeah, big. It went down like a V, and the metal had hit the bone, the main bone. That's where he found it. And so when I was in New Caledonia at a hospital, they'd come in every day and change the bandage and put Vaseline gauze in there. They go down to the bone and they start wrapping it around because all the skin from here down to the bone was chewed up by that shrapnel.
Wow. So this took a lot of your flesh,
yeah. But
did not damage your bone structure.
No, it didn't hurt. Had it done it, I would have been in a damn cast up to the whole body, you know.
Was there some pain at some point?
If there was, I don't remember. I really mean it. I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't remember. I didn't dwell on it anyway. Kind of like now.
But as you're sitting there on the hospital ship or the field hospital or later on, you probably had a lot of time to think about a lot of things. What kind of stuff went through your mind?
Girls.
They're nice to the guy in the hospital bed?
The nurses weren't nice to privates. They were always with the officers. They could talk to us. I'm joking. You know that. Okay. No, they treated me great. Most of them were men aboard the hospital ship. And the hospital, field hospital, New Caledonia, they were all RNs. But there had so many wounded that they didn't pay much attention to us. As far as the Silver Star, I met another one of the guys that was in my outfit, and he had told me that they put me in for the Silver Star, but they put a lot of people in for medals. In Washington, they're the ones who decide. In the Marine Corps, officers don't decide. And it has to be verified by an officer. It happened to be, there were two officers I was talking to when I went out there. And he told me about it, and I forgot all about it. After a while, many months, I was finally discharged from the Marines, went home. I was home maybe 8 months or so, and I got a call that they're awarding me the Silver Star, and they want to put a parade on in Treasure Island, San Francisco Bay, and award me the Silver Star. I sent them a letter back and told them, just send me the star. I can't take time off from work. So I got it through the mail. I didn't get the parade.
Sounds like you weren't looking for the attention.
I guess so. I've told you more than I should, I guess.
No, you didn't. And I've talked to so many guys. And my grandfather received a Silver Star for pulling 26 guys out of burning tanks in Europe.
Did he really?
And he didn't talk about it either. And one of his reasons was he knew how many guys didn't come home. Was there a point in all of that for you where it sank in how many of your friends didn't get to come home?
No. I did what I was told to do. And when I got out, I just worried about making a living, trying to make money. Sure. You know, no education.
How about the extent of your injury? Is that something that bothered you at all after the war?
Well, it did for a couple of years, you know, but because there was a lot of mass that had to fill up that hole, you know, it took quite a while to do that with tissue and stuff, yeah. Uh-huh.
So were you weaker on that side, or you just deal with
just
pain?
Just the leg, yeah. But yeah. When I went to work for the telephone company, that was good because I was climbing telephone poles and stuff like that, was strengthening the leg up.
Are there any other close calls you didn't tell us about that you think back on and you say, yeah, that was almost my number two?
Sure, all there was. I thought I was shot. We were had to go from one side of the airstrip to the other side and hit me in the back, spun me around, and I felt down there. It was all wet. I thought I was shot. It's not my canteen is all. So the guys teased me about that. Yeah.
Well-placed canteen, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right in the butt.
Well, I'm glad you can laugh about it now, because for so many, it would not be a laughing matter. And it was so gruesome there. And you've given us a little taste of that. And I know you had an experience just last year that probably brought some of these things back to mind for you when you went to Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
Honor Flight Southern Nevada.
Yeah.
What did you get out of that?
Well, I never ever thought about going to New York or Washington or any of those places because I'm a Westerner. But it was quite a thrill to do that, to see what other people have done to show us off, treat us.
And what did you think about when you were at that World War II memorial where they've got those 4,000 gold stars representing over 400,000 Americans who died? What went through your mind while you took that in?
That was a lot in a short time to take in.
Well, and you almost left us as an 18-year-old Marine in the Pacific. And a lot of teenage Marines did die on those two islands, and older Marines too.
Yeah.
How should those guys be remembered today?
Well, you know, it's been, what, 70, 80 years ago now? They're being remembered only by the immediate families, I think, not by new kids. They have no idea what took place. Matter of fact, we just had Veterans Day in this facility, and most of the guys in here are all pilots and officers, and they all got up and gave a nice speech, which is nice. That's good. They were pilots, but not one was in combat. I was the last one to talk, and I didn't say near what I should have said, I guess, because they want to know about being in the service. Well, what they were talking about, all of them, were glory boys, and they didn't give a true picture.
Their experience wasn't the same as yours?
No.
Most of us don't have any idea of the price you really paid out there. And I've talked to a lot of guys. There are guys that have physical wounds that bother them forever, guys that lose limbs, guys that have debilitating injuries. And what we haven't talked a lot about over the years, but now more and more, the mental and emotional wounds or scars that stick with you.
Yeah.
Have you had to deal with some of those? And if so, how have you endured or overcome some of that?
When I first came back, I did. I used to sleep with a knife underneath my pillow and everything else. Mm. But that was 70 years ago or whatever. So I really don't think it. I have other things to entertain me now.
Well, and I hear you talking about being in combat. And that's different than a lot of the experiences of other veterans who risked their lives in their own way but didn't go through what you went through. So for those of us who haven't experienced that, who haven't had our lives in that perilous position, what do you think are the important things we need to understand about what that's like and what you really did out there?
Well, everybody has a different take on it. Me, being all by myself, I really didn't have much to think about anything, really. I didn't. Pretty stupid for an old man, I guess, but that's the way I'm in. A lot of things I didn't talk about. Not because I don't talk about myself much.
What you're telling me is there are a lot of other things you did that most of us have never done, but you're gun shy about talking about it because you don't want people to think you're bragging.
Bingo. That's right. Hard for me to say that even.
But you had to fight with your hands, use your machine gun. Use your pistol, your carbine, whatever methods to stay alive, and the enemy was after you.
Yeah, you pretty well covered it, yeah.
Is there one thing that you saw or experienced that kind of was the most difficult thing or something that if you said, your 18-year-old's out there, I hope he never deals with this?
Funny part about it, when I never ever thought myself being real young until I got out into the real life as a civilian, and then I see these kids and I think, my God, that young, I can't really believe I did some of the things I did, but I did.
Well, and how about this question? I realize there's probably more that you didn't tell me than you did tell me, and the stuff you did tell me is eye-opening for the rest of us who haven't done stuff like that. Do you ever look back at some of those situations or moments and say, how did I survive? was somebody else pulling a string for me? How did I get out of that scenario?
I know where you're coming from. No, I didn't. I'm a non-religious person. I believe in myself that I can do whatever I have to do, and because I experienced that in other than war many ways, and I still believe that, even though I'm 90. I'm over 90.
I didn't ask you, Bob, do you have kids and grandkids?
I have one son. I found out what caused it. I only had one. He has two girls, and one's married, yeah.
I don't mean to sound melodramatic or put thoughts in your head, but have you ever thought, hey, if that hand grenade was a little off, or if that bullet or that situation went a little differently, my son and his kids wouldn't be here?
No, I really haven't.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But anyway, as far as what I did over there, the kids don't think anything of it. To them, it's passe. You know,
really?
Because they were raised with it. You look around, you see any war stuff in here other than that American flag, a Marine flag. Now, you see anything else in here?
No, I've been in a lot of Marines' homes, and a lot of times there's a doormat,
yeah,
or there's a flag, or there's the globe and anchor. I mean, it's hard to miss the once a Marine, always a Marine thing.
Yeah, but I don't put anything out.
And why don't you?
Just don't feel like, again, showing off or something. Because I know it's quite an honor to get that award, because I know I can pull it up on our iPhones. Uh-huh. You've done that yet?
Your citation?
Yeah.
Maybe I should, so I can read it for our listeners.
Well, you could read that, yeah.
I want to see this right now. I want to watch a 92-year-old Marine Corps Silver Star recipient pull up the citation on his smartphone. I've never done that before.
Robert Warren Andre.
Well, there you go. So this, the President of the United States of America takes pleasure in presenting the Silver Star to Private First Class Robert W. Andre, United States Marine Corps Reserve, for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity while serving with Company C, 1st Battalion, 6th Marines, 2nd Marine Division, in action against enemy Japanese forces on Saipan, Marianas Islands, 8 July 1944. When his platoon was momentarily held up during a firefight, Private First Class Andre observed a wounded man in front of the lines. Despite accurate enemy fire, he went to the aid of his comrade, and, although wounded himself, succeeded in returning the wounded man to our lines. His courage and devotion to duty were in keeping with the highest traditions of the United States Naval Service. They thought that was a big deal, Bob.
Yeah, I guess they did. I'm glad to get back in one piece.
Is it different to hear those words about you, or have you seen them so many times it doesn't faze you?
Well, I think you described it there. I read it, but I can't believe I did that.
Yeah, that's, I guess, when you think back on it now, I know you were just 18, but do you think you would do that again if given the chance?
No, being realistic, I don't think so.
You think that guy was kind of foolish or risking his life too much?
The guy that did that?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, but I'm glad I did it.
And I'm sure the guy whose life you saved was glad you did it.
I hope so, yeah.
You ever wonder what happened to him?
I have occasionally, but not lately. I figure if he's not passed on, he's pretty close to it.
Did you ever find out his name?
No, I really didn't. Neither one of them. Huh. But they were Mexicans, I know.
And one of them died.
He was dead when I got there.
But the other one survived, and who knows? He could still be out there.
I presume he survived. I have no idea. When they took me away, I don't know where he was, whether they were able to take care of in triage or whether he had to go aboard hospital ship.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of things I didn't ask you about, and I don't want to keep you forever. But I do want to make sure that I say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, for risking your life for us, and for telling us about it, because it's important that we know these things. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you about that you think it's important for us to know about you and all those other Marines out there in the Pacific?
I really can't think of anything. I know my younger brother, who's passed away now, wanted me to be buried in Arlington. So I got all the literature to do that. But now that he's passed on, I don't think I'm going to do that. I'll just be buried here locally.
Well, I'll tell you, the Veterans Cemetery in Las Vegas, out toward Boulder City,
yeah,
that is a very beautiful spot.
Yeah, that's where I have a plot there already.
And what about, since we weren't alive, since most of us didn't live through World War II, what's the most important thing we need to know about what you guys did and why you had to do it?
That is hard for me to answer. I did it only because, like I said, I really liked the idea of, I saw that movie, yeah, Wake Island, and I thought, well, they could use some help. And they made the Japs a real mean bunch of people. Believe me, they're not that mean. They were doing what they were told.
With time comes perspective, and Bob Andre has had more than 70 years to process those extreme situations he encountered as a teenage Marine in World War II. We're out of time on today's program, but a big thanks to Belinda Morse of Honor Flight Southern Nevada for introducing me to Bob. Check out those photos and a brief video at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook. And thanks so much for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.